Submission. Interesting word. And it's a very interesting topic whenever you actually think about all the different aspects of that particular topic. Submission. If you would, go with me to the book of James chapter 4. And let's read some verses as we begin the sermon here today. James chapter 4 and verse 7, we will begin. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. I think it's very clear from just reading these very simple, very straightforward verses that, brethren, we need to submit. We need to submit ourselves to God, and we also need to submit ourselves to every authority whom God has appointed over us. Submission is not difficult to understand. It simply means to do what someone else tells you to do. That's pretty straightforward. However, having said that, sometimes submission is very hard to live. And today I'd like for us to take a look at some principles of being submissive. We are all, when you think about it in one way or another, willful creatures. In other words, what I mean by that is we have our own mind and we know what we want. So it is sometimes hard for us to humble ourselves. It is sometimes hard for us to put our own will aside and take orders, as it were, from someone else. This is especially true when we don't like the orders. Our natural inclination is to rebel and to follow our own will, and that is just what we often do, isn't it? And for this reason, it is good for us to reflect, probably even long and hard, on this particular topic that we need submission in our lives. We need to let God's Word teach us how to be submissive. And I want us to consider, at the first part of this sermon, some different points about things that we need to concentrate on, things that we need to learn, and letting the Bible teach us about this topic of submission. Plain and simple, we must submit. Now, that's pretty straightforward, and I understand that, and I think all of us can understand that. In fact, everyone must submit to someone. Absolutely everyone must submit to God. Even if you think about it, here is God the Father, and then in a, you know, if you draw a line, you know, of course we would see God the Father and Jesus Christ being equal in that sense, but Jesus himself said, my Father is greater than I. And so if you look at it in that sense, is Jesus Christ needing to, shall we even use the word here, does he need to submit to anyone? And the answer would be, you know, it's a reserved answer, but the answer is yes, and who he would be submitted to would be to the Father, which means every single one of us has that as a responsibility to submit to someone, and everyone submits to God the Father. While rebels, those who don't want to submit to authority over them, often like to argue that they are the only ones who really need to submit. You know, it's like, well, you're just picking on me, and I've just got to do this, and you know, and well, the truth is, we all need to take orders somewhere from someone. Now, this may be hard words in some sense, you know, but I think it gets the point straight across. And so, let's see some of those that we are to submit to, so we can understand the topic even a little bit better. Well, first of all, we've already mentioned it, and that is everyone submits to God the Father. James 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. It's pretty straightforward. And if you look it up, what it actually means is submit yourself therefore to God. That is what it means. It could also be used in the same sense. Just by definition of the Greek word there, it doesn't mean it, but by usage it could mean humble yourselves to someone. Submit yourself to someone. In this case, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. A second place that we see that we all are to submit ourselves is to Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 24. Ephesians 5 and verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, that's us. If we are part of the church, if we are part of the body of Jesus Christ, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, the word could be usage, not definition again, but usage would be submit to. So let the wives be submissive or subject to their own husbands in everything. The next one we look at of things that we need to submit to or people we need to submit to would be elders. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you. Now, you could say, well, that's not talking to elders. It's talking about your boss. It's talking about, no, we go on and we see. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. That's the elders. And that could be, I'm not dealing with, who it is, a church pastor or an unpaid elder or whatever it is. I'm talking elder in that sense. That's the ministry. Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their, it says, conversation or their conduct. Yes, we follow what they say. And you can go back and you can see very clearly out of the law, it says that they are to teach you out of the law of God. And so that's what they are to be teaching you, and that's what we're to follow their words in that way, because they're there to teach us. They're there to help us so that we will understand. But it makes it plain. It says, remember them. Verse 17. This is still in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for this is profitable for you. And so we see that we are to submit very clearly to God the Father, to Jesus Christ, and to the elders or the ministry, however we would want to use it. Another one would be to older people. Older people. Now, sometimes we have a problem with that. And we understand that older people sometimes, they don't remember like they used to. They don't remember like they used to. They repeat themselves. They repeat themselves. But you understand. I mean, and there's all kinds of issues with older people. Say, and we're supposed to submit to older people? Well, let's go and take a look. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And it means here not ministry, but it means older people. You can go back and you can look it up and you can see from the Greek, that's what it's talking about. To the older people. Submit yourselves to them. Yes, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace unto the humble. It's interesting that he would put it in the context that we're to be submissive to the older people, because I think there'd be a lot of times we would go, what? Why would I want to do that? Okay, let's go on. There's some other people that we are to learn to be submissive to. The next one I have in this list that I have is parents. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The next one is government. Government. Romans 13, 1. Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or authorities. For there is no authority but of God. The authorities that be are ordained of God, or those authorities that are ordained of God. Another one would be married couples are to submit themselves one to another. Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5 verse 20, we begin, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now it goes on and it says the same kinds of things that the husbands are also. But this very plain here, it says husbands and wives are to be submitting themselves one to another. I can make a case on other passages and all of this, but it makes the point and it's clear. Now, in this context here, it says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. I want to clarify something here in case anyone has any questions. It says, your own husband. It doesn't say, wives, submit to all husbands. It doesn't say, wives, i.e. women, are to submit to all men. This is not a rank. It might have some foul odor to it in that kind of rank for people to believe this. And I know that I've been around people who have actually thought that all wives are to submit to all husbands. But there are men who have believed that and have taught that even, and it's wrong. So I think it's pretty obvious that we can see that we are to submit. However, having said this and seen to what we've seen so far, all too often what happens? We don't. So, brethren, I ask a question. Why don't we submit? If it's that clear in the Scripture, why don't we? Well, probably for a lot of reasons. But let me give some examples, and I'm not going to go into an exhaustive point here, but I think it'll get our minds focused and going in the right direction here. For example, we as humans openly defy authority and say that we will not do as we are told. And we can see all kinds of examples. We can see it in society today, but we can also see a good example of this type of defiance from Pharaoh in the story of the Exodus. And I think this is a really interesting thing to consider. When called upon by God to let the children of Israel go free, Pharaoh simply said, no. No, I'm not going to do it. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2. We can read a lot of the verses, but this summarizes the point that I'm making. Exodus 5 and verse 2. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Yeah, he's right, he didn't. Nor will I let Israel go. I don't know about you, but I think any way we would look at the statement, we read this, and I know many of us are reading and studying all of these kinds of things at this particular time. I consider this to be a very audacious statement by someone to state, I'm not going to do that. I don't know who he is, and I'm not going to be, and I'm not going to let him go. The thing is, we hear the same kind of thing maybe every day in speech and talking with people that we hear even in our society today. It may be on the television, it may be in movies, or it may be in songs, or it may be in conversations that we have one to another. I know on a personal basis, I have had more than one occasion, people in the church say things such as, I know what God says, but I'm not going to do it that way. Now, I don't know, but I kind of cringe a little when people tell me that. Now, does this mean that I've never made a mistake, that I've never sinned? Of course, I have made mistakes and I have sinned. It's not my point. I'm talking about when you know this is what God says to do, and people says, well, I know that's what he says, but there is no but. A good example, of course, and you could come up with this one on your own very quickly, would be Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if your brother shall transgress against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear you, then you have gained your brother. And that principle, because I have had people to say, I'm not going to do that. You read it right out of the Scripture. I know that's what it says, but I'm not going to do it that way. In the same way, there are people who say they will not obey the law. There are churches that will not obey Jesus Christ and what he says. I know that Saturday in the Bible is the Sabbath, but, I mean, this is the same kind of thing. I mean, if we just think about it, I know that there are employees who will not obey their bosses, and I know that the list could go on and on and on. Now, while such rebellion is common, and it is common, it is either more common for people to rebel against authority. It is even more common, let me rephrase that. It is more common for people to rebel against authority in even more subtle ways. Even though people will do those kinds of things, it is much more subtle how we tend to do it. For example, because we imagine that we can, I use this term, that we can trade our submission and withhold it if we're not satisfied. And I'm talking about trading it like it's merchandise. We're bargaining. I will submit as long as I get what I want. Now, it may not be those words that succinct or even that, you know, troublesome if you think about it. But that's something that I think that we as humans tend to do. And then what happens is, then if we ever feel dissatisfied, we can refuse to submit and offer our dissatisfaction as the excuse for not obeying it. Now, we can probably give an entire sermon on that one point. But I think the point gets it across. This seems to be perhaps the attitude of Gideon back in the book of Judges. Let's go back to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and verse 13. Judges 6 and verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? If God is God, then why has all of this happened to us? Don't you already see that attitude? This is the same attitude. This is what this is. And where be all his mercies which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. From their perspective, from Gideon's perspective and those that are with him, God's failure to help Israel against the Midianites was viewed as an excuse to turn away from God, to turn another way. Now, I know Gideon got it. I'm just saying Gideon is more than anything here. He's expressing the views of the people. But it's still the way it was done. That's what is so interesting. In the same way, people disobey the government when they feel that they have been poorly served by the government in some way. Well, if they're not going to fix the roads, then I don't know why I have to do X, Y, and Z. What does it have to do with this? But that's the way we look at it. I'm not picking on wives here, but husbands and or wives can disobey their mates when they feel unloved. I'm not going to do that because children rebel sometimes against their parents because they feel neglected or because they don't feel that they're heard or whatever their reasons are, you know, whatever it is that they would express. Brethren, this form or this type of rebellion is just as wrong, but it soothes our consciences to make it seem easier for us to refuse the submission that we've been asked to do. But it's still wrong. Another subtle way might be because we imagine that the rule or the order that we are disobeying is illegitimate. We don't feel it's a legal right. We don't think that they really have the legal right to tell us to do sex, you know, whatever it is. This excuse is usually made when a third party points out our duty. We will say things like, that's not really what I have to do. You don't know what you're talking about. We see this argument made, for instance, in the book of Jeremiah. The remnant of the Israelites asked the prophet Jeremiah what the Lord would be wanting them to do. They asked in Jeremiah to do this, and then Jeremiah told them what God's will was, but instead of obeying what Jeremiah's words of, hear the words of the Lord, this is what we're supposed to be doing, they refused to obey the words of Jeremiah, and they actually accused Jeremiah of getting the message wrong, and they did not want to do what it was probably in the first place. They didn't want to do it. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 43. Jeremiah 43, we can see this. In Jeremiah 43, verse 1, we begin. Jeremiah 43 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God. So in other words, Jeremiah got the words from God. He tells the words of God to all the people. This is very plain. For which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words. Making it very plain. God told him, he gave all the words to the people. Verse 2. Then spoke Ahasuerus, the son of, and you get all of these people, all the proud men, saying that Jeremiah, you speak falsely. You're not telling us what God said. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. He didn't tell you that. Now, I find this again, this is very interesting whenever, you know, God's told him, what do you want me to tell the people? God tells them, he tells them, and they said, that's not what he told you. Verse 3, but Burak, the son of Neriah, set you on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. In the same way as this attitude that the people of God dealt with Jeremiah. And you can go through and you can see what all they done to, you know, what all they did to Jeremiah, as opposed, you know, how he told them the truth and they didn't like it, what they did. In the same way, violators argue with police officers. Now, whether we agree that the speed limit should be 50 here and you're driving 60 and he pulls you over and you go, well, wait a minute now, I know other people were driving fast and why didn't you pull them over? You know, it may all be true. Maybe 20 cars pass you going 90, but he pulls you over. Are you guilty, yes or no? I mean, we have to look at it in that way. Now, there are laws in the land that tells you how you can do certain things, but arguing as police officers is not going to be it. And so I don't want to disagree with them at all. I mean, I may tell them and say, well, that's not what I saw, da-da-da, and then they go, the next thing is you button it up, and whatever they tell you, this is what they tell you. In the same way, just like this with Jeremiah, with the people of God there, children argue with their siblings about their parents' instructions. That's not what they told you. They didn't tell you that you could do this to me. Now, maybe they did or they didn't, but most of the time, one sibling does not know what the other sibling told. You know, the parent says to this one such and such, and this other one doesn't hear it, and this one says, this is what the parent said, and they go, no, they didn't tell you that. And we don't think about that as being rebellion. We don't think about that as a lack of submission, a lack of humility. It's exactly what it is. I know that I've mentioned this before, but there are so many times that I've pointed out scriptures. In fact, I used this earlier, Matthew 15:18. Somebody asks a question, and you go to the Bible. Oh, I love it. And you go to the Bible, and you read it, and says, this is what it says. And I go, you don't really expect me to do this. No, but God does, you know. And I've even had people to tell me that, well, that's just your interpretation. And I'm reading it out of the Bible. Now, I understand, and I'll be the first to admit, that it is very possible that I may misapply what the Scripture says. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to knowingly tell you something different than what it says. I'm just not my intention to do that. Now, I may tell you something different, but that's, again, it's not going to be my intention. But it is also true that we need to understand that there are many people who simply reject the teaching of the Bible and use the messenger as the excuse to reject the message. And I know because I've had that happen. Another way that some people may rebel in a subtle way is because we imagine that we are the exception to the rule. We say things like, yes, that is what the orders are, but that doesn't apply to me in my situation. An example of this attitude is over here in 2 Chronicles with King Uzziah. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to just give you the verses and you can read it. But we'll make some comments. In 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16 through 21, he was very successful. He was powerful. And in a lot of ways, he was even could be considered as righteous. And he even blessed God. Now, all these things are positive. All these things are good. And he thought that he could get away with offering incense in the temple, which was a duty reserved by God's law for the prophets. So we understand that the king made a mistake. In the same way, people often excuse their rebellion against authority by reasoning that, well, this time it is different. Which is actually what the king, you know, actually said. Another subtle way that we might rebel is because we are certain the consequences of obedience would be bad. Notice, if we do what we're told to do, the outcome is going to be bad if we do that, so we feel justified refusing to obey. Now, I'm not talking about from someone who is intentionally trying to mislead. I'm not talking about someone who's trying to get you to do something wrong and it's not, or they don't have the authority. I'm talking about some. All of this is with somebody or a situation where the authority is there. They have the right. They have the legitimacy, and it'd be backed by God and all of that. That's what I'm talking about. And we still have times and say, yeah, but if I do that, this is going to be bad. So we feel justified in refusing to obey. And we'll say things along the lines of, I know that. And if I do that, there will be a disaster, so surely I cannot be expected to do what I know is going to be a mistake. Now, there is a legitimate way from the scriptures on how to handle a situation like that, but to flat out refuse and not to do it and then to do something else, that's wrong. That's wrong. Again, most of these points we could spend an entire sermon on, and I understand that. And this is not the point. I'm just pointing out various ways. The Israelites' refusal to go up and take the promised land in Numbers 14 is an example of this kind of excuse. Now, you can go back in Numbers 14. We're not going to read it, but you can go back and you can read it, and you can see it, what they did, and that's exactly what they... It would be a mistake if we do it, so we're not going to do that. Really? That's interesting. In the same way, sometimes children or wives or husbands or employees or citizens or church members all find occasions and opportunity when we think our way is better. Well, they may have the authority, but I know better. Or they may have the authority, but I know that's going to turn out bad, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do it the other way. Now, I don't know if we think that's rebellion or not, but it's rebellion. It's rebellion. Again, like I said, the Bible tells you how to deal with it if you don't agree with it and how you deal with it. And again, that's not the sermon. That's not the point. It's how we react to these that I'm talking about. So I ask another question. Why should we submit? Why should we submit? Each one of us, brethren, must have the honesty to state that all of us, with all of our lame excuses for not submitting, are just ways to make more rebellion in our lives acceptable to me on a personal basis. We make the excuses to make it more acceptable to the person who is not submitting. And we all do that in one way or another. What we need to do is to come to see that submission is not only necessary, but submission is actually good for us. Now, I want you to consider with me for the next few moments some reasons that we need to submit to authority. Now, remember, I am talking about all authority in every situation that's legitimate over us in a given situation. That's the only authority that I'm dealing with. I'm not dealing with something that's bad, that shouldn't have been there. I mean, that's a rebellious type of authority. I'm not dealing with that. I'm talking about, you know, it's intended to be for good. I mean, a police officer, for example, go back to that one, because they've probably all one time or another been pulled over for something that we know we didn't do. Now, I'm not talking about whether this policeman did it with intent or not intent. That's, again, it's not my point at all. I'm not dealing with that. The reason that they're there is for to love your neighbor as yourself. They're helping us to get that rule in place is the purpose of it. If we all drove 90 miles an hour in a 60-mile zone, we're going to all be dead sooner or later. I mean, I think we understand that. And so they're there to help us as enforcers of our own conscience and just, oh, yeah, right, I should slow down. I mean, that's in essence what it is. It's a principle of loving your neighbor as yourself. And so the principle of doing this is right, and that part is good. Now, whatever or how it happened, that's not my issue here. But here are some things to think about. Because it works for our good in the long run to submit. It does. It's going to work for our good in the long run if we submit. In Matthew chapter 6 in verse 10, you already know what is in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 10. Jesus is teaching us how to pray. And one of the phrases that he states there is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's will be done on earth as God's will is in heaven. Now, with that in mind, I have a question. Do we really know the difference between earth and heaven? Now, it may sound like a strange question, but I'll try and clarify that in what I'm saying just in a moment. Do we know why heaven is good and earth has a lot of bad? I didn't say earth is all bad. I said, heaven is good, and earth has a lot of bad. Do we know why there is that difference? And that's the difference. Do we know what the difference between heaven and hell is? And that's the difference that I'm referring to. The difference is because everything in heaven obeys God's will. Because you can look back and you see down through history with the angelic realm, and they didn't. They were removed. And I know that they may have access now. That's not the point. They don't stay there. Where on earth, everyone doesn't obey God's will. And I think we all understand that. We need to learn that in the end, submission is submitting to God. Any authority over us is, in essence, submitting to God. And submitting to God will only bring us wonderful blessings and peace. And rebellion, in other words, not submitting to the legitimate authority of us, will only bring us what? Destruction and lack of peace, lack of wonderfulness, lack of anything good. It will just not be there. Another reason that we need to submit and learn to submit to authority is because Jesus Christ did. And he set us an example. And we're to follow him and we're to do his example. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, he's talking about Jesus, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Now let's go immediately to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And verse 42, Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if you be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He says, is there another way? But whatever it is that is your will, this is absolute example of total, complete submission to this authority, God, over him in his life. Jesus submitted to authority. We can go through all kinds of examples. Jesus was told, you know, Peter mentioned him about, well, we got to pay this tax that the government has told us. He didn't say, they don't have any authority. It's not what he said. He said, pay the tax. Pay for mine and pay yours. Now, he performed a miracle. You know, again, that's not my point either. But the point is, he said, they have the authority to do it, to ask for it. Let's pay it. If he could do it, then we obviously should do it. If we ever start to make excuses to justify our rebellion against God or God's authorities, think about Jesus Christ. It's a good place to put, what would Jesus do? What would he have done? Well, he also makes it very plain, you obey God rather than man. I mean, that principle is also there. And so again, I said, there are ways. The Bible shows you the ways that we disagree with and how we handle them. But that's, again, that's another topic. Another reason that we need to learn to submit to authority is because if we don't do it now, we are going to be forced to do it later. When Jesus Christ, when his work is done and he is